I think some of us, in my age group at least, remember the last time we had a large group of veterans coming home. They were coming home from Vietnam. And many of them today are part of the homeless population in our country. One of the largest percentages of the homeless population are veterans from that era. We cannot let it happen again.
That was Congressman Ron Barber on May 29th of this year. He joined with his Veterans Advisory Council to announce legislation he is currently supporting. He says of the nearly 85,000 vets in his district, Vietnam-era veterans face a unique set of challenges. Gus Hasdorf III is one local vet who recalls his decision to join the Marines.
Well, I was 17 years old. It was August 7th, 1972. It was my first day of service. I got on a plane to San Antonio and flew to L.A. and rode a bus from L.A. to San Diego.
After Marine Corps boot camp in San Diego and infantry school at Camp Pendleton, he was sent to Nam Phong, Thailand. He was assigned to a U.S. Marine Air Base and Royal Thai Air Force joint operation.
Well, at the time, they were bombing Laos and Cambodia and North Vietnam.
Gus turned 18 in Nam Phong. He says he returned from the Vietnam War with a heroin addiction and entered a treatment program at the Naval Air Station in Miramar, California. For a number of reasons, Gus has been homeless for most of the past three decades.
Gus was living out in Awash on the northwest side of town, and our outreach workers knew him because he's been there for so long.
Sarah Tawil is the project coordinator for 51 Homes, a local nonprofit that seeks to house the most medically vulnerable people experiencing chronic homelessness. The idea is to provide housing first and then provide wraparound support services such as mental health and substance abuse treatment. Traditional models take the opposite approach by having people meet certain prerequisite criteria before qualifying for housing assistance.
We do see once we put people into housing, they don't need or want to use substances anymore, or they're ready to begin addressing these behavioral health concerns. They can go to the doctor, they can make appointments, they can follow up with prescriptions and taking medication.
Gus qualified as medically vulnerable and chronically homeless. Outreach workers made repeated contact with him in an effort to help him with housing.
Gus had recently experienced a heart attack. It was summer, monsoons were coming, and I think he just finally decided, I can't do this anymore.
Gus says it was getting harder to live that life.
You know, the heat feels a little hotter and the cold is a little colder, and you know, it's just, it's miserable. You know, and the thing that I hated the most was the wind, you know, the wind, the cold, the rain.
One more attempt by outreach workers paid off.
Outreach workers were able to approach Gus and say, hey, no strings attached, really. You're able to come into housing without a lot of red tape.
When 51 Homes first started, the Veterans Administration offered assistance. They were able to fund housing for chronically homeless veterans through what are known as VASH vouchers, or Veterans Assisted Supportive Housing.
The VA is 100% on board. All of their HUD VASH vouchers are targeted towards chronically homeless folks, and they now use a Housing First model consistently across the board.
At the time, Tawil was also the program coordinator for Comin' Home, which is part of Kodak Behavioral Health Services. Comin' Home is a transitional program that offers bridge housing for homeless vets who are preparing for a permanent home.
And he came into Comin' Home for bridge housing while he was picking out an apartment and preparing for the VASH procedure.
I had 3 weeks of, living indoors and getting used to sleeping in an actual bed, you know, with sheets and, you know, making your bed and having a stove and cooking. You know, it was good.
Gus now lives in a studio apartment in north central Tucson.
It was like a great weight lifted off my shoulders, you know, not having to worry. And my apartment is like 4 or 5 times bigger than any tent I've ever been in or lived in, you know, and I've built hooches out here and lived in tents and no tents. And
I needed a new one.
Now Gus listens to classic rock on his stereo and enjoys the comforts of his new home. He has a TV, a coffee maker, kitchen appliances, air conditioning, a bathroom, a bed, and the makings of a little library in his closet. He says he likes to read. Beyond these comforts, his new home has allowed him to focus more on his health and well-being.
You know, it's like now that I've hooked up with the VA and, you know, I've got my meds and, you know, I'm eating a little bit more, probably not as much as I should. I have gained a little weight.
Gus remembers what it was like living in the desert.
You gotta get food, haul water, find firewood, you know, find a safe place to camp. You know, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
The transition from being homeless for so many years to now living in his own apartment has brought with it a certain level of anxiety.
It feels great, but, you know, it's hard to get used to once you've lived outside for a number of years. My outdoor Daniel Boone woodsman, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. And it's such a relief, but it brings a whole new set of problems, you know, like shopping for groceries, man.
Gus says he misses elements of nature that were an everyday part of his old life.
You get up in the morning, you watch the sun come up, and you watch it track across the sky, and then, you know, each day you see the sun slowly go to the north, and then now it's... Well, since June, it's been tracking south again, and days are getting shorter. And, you know, you watch the leaves turn and get cold, and then spring. Yeah, it's neat. You get to see the wildlife. That's all cool. This is so much better. Trust me.
Whenever I speak to Gus, he's thankful for his apartment. I mean, he still has challenges. I think transition is hard for folks who've been out living out of doors for decades. So I think he feels like his four walls are a blessing, but maybe still a little bit of the confinement feeling still.
Sarah Tawiel makes an economic argument for supporting efforts to house homeless veterans and others living without homes in southern Arizona.
It costs more for folks to be homeless in a community, more for law enforcement, more for emergency medical services, more for emergency shelters. It costs less to house somebody in a one-bedroom apartment.
Now that Gus is able to tend to his physical and mental health needs, he can move beyond issues of basic survival.
Gus is not going to die in a wash, unknown, on the edge of the desert. I mean, that's just huge. Gus has neighbors and friends and people who know him and are looking out for him, and he can live with dignity, that he's not a nameless person that nobody knows.
Tawiel says she has simple hopes for Gus and his future.
That he gets to live in a home for the rest of his life and not think of himself as a person who was homeless or a homeless person, that he's just Tucson in like the rest of us.
This week marks 1 year since Gus left his life in the desert. He says he is grateful for those who persisted in bringing him home. And he reflects on those who are still out there.
You know, because without the people that actually go out and find people like me, I mean, in other words, it's not plastered on billboards, and it's, you know, very few televisions out in the desert, you know, where you, of course, they could put it on the radio. There's a few radios out there, you know. I'm truly blessed, being here right now I'm truly thankful.
For Arizona Spotlight, I'm Mitchell Riley.